Before we get started, Judy just brought me the prayer cards for August. And we're going to be praying for the persecuted church. So I'm going to pass the church is not persecuted. But in much of the global south, the church is under extreme persecution. And I was once told by one of those people under persecution not to pray that the persecution would go away, but that they would be able to stand up under it and be victorious under it, which I thought was pretty cool. They talked about how we persecution is just what it is, and they just want to be faithful under that. So August prayer cards are here, and Sean is passing those out. Every month we've got a different theme. Next week we're going to be talking about You Shall Not Murder, which will fit really well with some of the shootings we've been seeing. Who thinks it wouldn't do any harm to put the Ten Commandments in schools, do not murder, do not murder, do not murder, over and over? Who thinks that would be a really good thing for kids to hear that? Because we've got young men going out and doing these crazy things, and it's completely inappropriate. Anyways, I'm Dave Householder, blessed to be your Bible teacher. And who thinks Kim just did a wonderful job up here? With those of you who came late missed out. You really did. It was a wonderful praise set, and just thanks to the team and everybody who puts that on. Pastor Tamara is taking care of her dad, as I mentioned before, and we do want to pray for her family to step up a little bit. That would be good. The Ten Commandments, as you've never seen them before, we are doing a series on the Ten Commandments, and I'm not going to teach them the way they were taught in Sunday school. We're going to go very deep into the Word, and we're going to look at 3,400 years of commentary on them. I am just really excited about today's message. My name is Dave Householder again. I'm the Bible teacher here, and I want to show you a picture of my mom. This is my mom, 25 years old, with me a few months old, there on the left. And on the right, that's a picture of me and mom recently. And mom is 84 years old, lives in Des Moines. And she quit golfing last year because the year before, she climbed an 8-foot fence to get a ball that, and she broke her arm going over the top. So she's a rather lively person, and love her to death. And she has always been a person who wanted things to go really well for me. Just like all parents, nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect as a parent. She wasn't perfect as a parent. But she always had my best interests in mind. And parents are wired by God to have your best interests in mind. They give birth to you. They do all this stuff, and they want you to do well. No parents think, I sure hope my kid fails. I mean, have you ever heard that? No. Even the worst parents say, I want my kid to do well. You want your kids to thrive. And we're going to give you the secrets to how that works out today. We are going through the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. The Jews call it the Ten Words. We're using the Jewish numbering for it. So this is the fifth word, respecting authority, honoring our parents. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. This is a very, very rich passage. People say, you're only going to preach on one verse. I said, we could preach on this verse for months. Let's read this together out loud as it's on the screen. 1, 2, 3. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This is the first commandment with a promise. Some of them have warnings. Some of them have threats almost. This one has a promise, so that you will live a long, full life in the Lord your God, in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, has anyone hearing this from Moses at this point, has anyone seen the promised land? Just Caleb and Joshua. This is something which has been promised to them, but isn't theirs yet. Who here feels like you haven't fully received all of God's promises for your life yet? You still have more life to do. You still have stuff ahead of you that God is promising that you're living into. You're living into those promises. And we live into that calling every day. And this is the hardest thing about life, is getting in touch with God's promise for your life and living into it, because it never stays done. You'll be working on it on a Wednesday, and it'll be going pretty well, and then you'll lose track of it on a Thursday. Your calling, your vocation, whether you're doing this for money or not, your role in the world is something which we have to work out with fear and trembling, and it takes each other. This is why we come to church on Sunday, is to get back in touch with what we're supposed to be doing. Because if you miss a few weeks, you miss 1 week, it's 2 weeks without thinking about that. You miss 2 weeks, it gets to be a month pretty fast. And next thing you know, you're not really paying attention to what you're supposed to be doing. Who thinks you can lose a decade pretty fast? Who's lost a decade or two here and there? Most of us have. It goes very quickly. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. Then you will live a long, full life. Longevity is good, but only if it's a good life. Who wants to be old and feeble for 30 years and being fed through a... No. What they're talking about here is a long life that is full. A long life that is abundant and prosperous and healthy and strong. That's what our parents want for us. Your parents, perfect or imperfect, and God agree on this. They agree that they want you to live a good life. They want you to succeed. Parents, if nothing else, so they can brag about you, but they want it. Parents want their kids to do well. And the Bible says whenever we come into agreement, our Father does it. We come into agreement with each other as parents that we want our kids to do well, and we also come into agreement with the Lord who wants us to do well. The Lord wants us to live into our promised land, to live into our vocation, our calling, our purpose. And since our parents and God come into agreement, that's a powerful spiritual force that we need to get in line with. And if we get in line with that spiritual force, things go better for us, and we live longer, and we live stronger, and we live better, and we start to thrive. Human flourishing is super important, and our culture will flourish to the extent that we get in line with this. A culture that doesn't respect their parents is not going to be a culture of human flourishing. It's going to be a culture of mass shootings, of bickering on TV over politics, and all that stuff. Does this sound familiar? This is not just for us individually. This is for the entire culture. So let's go deep into this. Dive deep together. That's the theme of our church here at the Well. We go very deep into the Word. And let me just say, this verse, we're going to go back to it here. The word honor is as close as we can get in English, but it doesn't carry the weight of the Hebrew word kavod, K-V-D. Once again, the Hebrews don't hear the difference between B and V, so kavod, kavod, same word. Kavod is God's heavy presence. Heavy presence. The word heavy, literally, is part of it, heaviness. Heavy in a good sense. Not heavy in, oh, this is so heavy. More like heavy in a good sense. If any of you were here in the 60s, you probably said that. Heavy, heavy, in a cool way. God's heavy presence. And God's heavy presence, God's translated sometimes in the Bible as glory. That's the word underneath honor. That we should treat our parents with heavy reverence. A sense of awe at our parents. A sense of, ooh. This is somebody we don't want to disrespect. Almost a tinge of good fear. I don't mean bad fear. I don't mean being afraid of your parents like they're some horrible people. I'm just a sense of, ooh, you know? Who's seen those parents and kids who've got that great relationship and the parent just looks at them with that look and all of a sudden, that's a relationship where there's that heavy sense of respect. And I think the more of that we would have, the better off our culture would be. A sense of heavy respect for our parents. Do you see where the English word honor just doesn't carry kavod with it? Kavod is one of the main themes in the book of Ezekiel. This is an artist's impression of the kavod of Yahweh. Yahweh, of course, is God's first name. His kavod is described looking like this. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple, the kavod Yahweh. And when they were unfaithful, in the book of Ezekiel, the kavod left the temple. The word Ichabod, you've heard the word like Ichabod Crane? Ichabod? That comes from Ezekiel, the glory is gone. Don't name your kids Ichabod. Bad name for kids. A lot of bad Bible names for kids. We can go on and on. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, Judas, really bad name. Just don't do it. So this is the Kavod Yahweh. And toward the end of the book, there's a promise from Ezekiel that the temple will be rebuilt because the Israelites were off in Babylon. And the glory of the Lord, the Kavod Yahweh, is going to come over the Mount of Olives down through the valley. You can read about this. It's pretty cool. Bust through the gate which had been bricked off and fill the temple with his glory. It's very cool in the book of Ezekiel. And the Kavod Yahweh is nothing to smirk at. It's just like this gigantic flying fiery tank. This is the word the Bible uses for how we should feel about our parents. A sense of glory, a sense of awe, a sense of respect with capital R, respect. Because if we have that, then we're going to get in line with what? Our parents, the word, and God. And when we're in line with that, we get filled with power. And that's a good thing, and we do live longer. How many things do parents say to kids about living longer? Put your seatbelt on. Don't touch the stove. Look both ways when you... Why? Because you don't want your kids to die. You want your kids to survive. You want them to live long. Don't spend all your money on stupid stuff. Why? Because you want them to be prosperous. You want them to save. You want them to do well with things. Your goal for your parents and God's goal are in line. God's goal is perfect. Your parents' goal is imperfect, but still in line. And if we line up with that, our lives go better. They just do, because we face challenges and we want that to happen. Some of you are too young to know who this is. This is Mr. Spock. Just ask an older person, tell you all about Mr. Spock. Mr. Spock is from the 60s. Yes, last century 60s. But Mr. Spock, this is just amazing. Mr. Spock is played by Leonard Nimoy. And Leonard Nimoy was raised Orthodox Jewish. Very Orthodox Jewish. Spirit-filled Orthodox Jewish. And he was told that in one episode he would be meeting these Vulcans and he was going to come up with a greeting, a Vulcan greeting. And what did he do? He did his hands like this, and what did he say? Live long and prosper. He did it off the cuff because he was raised Jewish, and this is a Jewish blessing. And Leonard Nimoy says, it's so funny, all these people at Star Trek conventions are blessing each other, and they don't even know it. He was a little boy in the synagogue, the Orthodox synagogue, and the elders of the synagogue got up on the stage. And they took their prayer shawls and put them over their heads. And they started praying and lost track of the words. And he was a little boy with his uncle. And his uncle said to the little boy, Leonard, don't look. And so he covered his eyes. And these elders started shouting. And the words started disappearing. It was kind of like praying in tongues. And then they started shouting out in Hebrew, blessings. And Leonard says, I peeked. And their hands were like this, praying a blessing over the people. And his uncle says, don't look, because the Shekinah of the Lord will show up during the blessing. And you can't look at it and survive. The Shekinah is the cloud of God's glory will show up. And this is the symbol for the Hebrew letter Shin. Shalom starts with Shin. Shalom is long life, prosperity, and peace. So he threw all of that together. It's also the first word in Shekinah, which is God's presence. So there's a lot of cool stuff behind this. But your parents want you to live long and prosper. Little did you know your parents were Trekkies, but still. People at Comic-Con going, blessing each other. What it isn't. This command is not a command to allow your parents to abuse you. Now, I don't mean small A abuse. I mean capital A abuse. Every parent does minor abusive things. What parents, have you ever seen parents get frustrated and say things they wish they hadn't said? It happens. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about consistent physical abuse, sexual abuse, those kinds of things. I'm talking about capital A abuse. This doesn't mean you have to go along with that. Doesn't mean you have to say that's okay. It's not a command to agree with everything they think or say. My dad once said to me when I was learning how to ski as a little kid, yeah, there's three rope toes going up to the top of Lookout Pass. And I went there and there were two. But my dad said there were three. And I thought to myself, what should I do? Because I'm supposed to honor my parents. But I kept counting two. Who thinks my dad was wrong about the number of rope toes? It was just two. It doesn't mean you have to agree with what they say when they're wrong. It doesn't mean you have to bless something they say which is really abusive or something that they do. It's also not a commandment to love your parents. It's a command to respect and honor them. Sometimes it's hard to love our parents, especially when you're a teenager. It's just challenging. But we should still respect them. Who thinks respect is more important than just getting along great with your kids? We're there to respect our parents, not necessarily to be buddies with them. If the buddy thing works out, that's beautiful as adults. But it might not. But if the respect thing is there, that's still a really good thing. Let's talk about Jesus and his mother. Jesus had a difficult family life. Now, you may say, well, you're talking about the Holy Family. I said, yes, I am. If you look historically at the Holy Family, it was not a great family. It's been idealized in paintings. Oh, Mary and Joseph and swirling clouds and baby Jesus, and it was just perfect. Scholars say it was probably a blended family. Joseph probably lost his wife. Who thinks women used to die a lot? You do history, family history, women died in childbirth all the time. And very often, husbands would have two wives. They have your first wife, she would die, then you'd get married again and have some more kids. And she would raise the older kids. This is probably what happened with Mary because Jesus had older brothers and sisters. And yet, firstborn to Mary. And who disappears after Jesus is about 12? Joseph, you don't hear about him anymore. He's probably older, he's probably what? Dead. We don't know for sure, but probably. Yeah. He's not there. He's not there. And chances are he just died. So Jesus was in a blended family with a stepfather and a challenging situation. And, you know, I'm sure they had their good sides, but they left him in Jerusalem for a whole day when they went back home. Folks, I can understand an hour. I can understand 2 hours, you know, but check to see your kids are there before you leave a big city. Just a good idea before you get on the plane. You know, just count heads. You know, they went a whole day, and it's like, I thought he was with you. I thought he was with you. You know, this has got to be challenging. How do you think Jesus is left behind in Jerusalem? He's hanging out with the rabbis and having a good time, but still, what kid likes being left behind? We left our kid at church once. Half an hour. He was livid. He was so mad. He was a little kid, and he was just, imagine a whole day if we left him there. Or left him in a big city when we were traveling somewhere. Just, well, you know, in the evening, I suppose we should go looking for him. You know, so the poor guy. And also, at the wedding at Cana, he has a fight with his mom. Jesus, what are you going to do about the wine situation? Woman, what's that got to do with me? Now, try that line on your mother sometime. Woman, what's that got to do with me? And she says, you know, get in there and get something done. My time is not here yet. You know, and she wins the argument. He goes and does it. Okay, mom, whatever. He's honoring her. Who thinks she was being difficult? He didn't want that to be his first miracle. I mean, he wanted something cooler than wine. You know, you want to raise someone from the dead, heal somebody, but no, you've got to make wine for a wedding. Thanks, mom. You know, so you can read the story. They're having a fight. She wins. She wins a fight against the Son of God. That's pretty cool for mom. Anyways. And then Mark 3:20 and following, the Bible says his family thought he was crazy. He came to get him and bring him home. So they weren't exactly excited about his new career choice. They thought he's out of his mind, the Bible says, and we're going to bring him home. And then Jesus, capping off frustration, says, I realize my family's out there, but you guys are my real family. So who thinks Jesus had some challenges with his earthly family? But, what does he do at the end? Brings his mom up. Last thing Jesus does, make sure mom's taken care of. Was she perfect? No. Was she difficult for him? Yes. Did he grow up in a difficult blended family? Probably. Did he still honor his mom? Absolutely. Think about it. The guy's about to die. And as he's being executed, can you imagine being executed and thinking, well, I've got to make sure mom's taken care of? That's pretty cool. We honor our parents even when they're not perfect. John, take care of Mary. Mary, this is your son. Make sure she's provided for. Make sure she's okay. And he wouldn't have said that if Joseph was still alive. So, some benefits to honoring our parents. God gives us parents so we can practice relating to authority figures. If we don't get this figured out in childhood, it's hard to learn it as adults. Your parents are a practice run at authority. We'll always have authority figures in our lives, those who take the responsibility for big things. In return, they get authority in return for shouldering that responsibility. In any organization, in any family, if authority and responsibility are out of balance, you've got a problem. This is the number one rule of HR, human resources. Almost every dispute in HR comes from someone having an imbalance of authority and responsibility. You give an employee too much responsibility but no authority to do anything about it. It doesn't work. If you give someone responsibility, you have to give them the authority to make the decisions. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. And when parents take the responsibility to raise kids for 20 years, they get the say-so. What do parents say? As long as you're living in my house and I'm paying the bills, I'm taking responsibility. You take responsibility, you get the authority. But your parents take responsibility for you for 20 years, roughly. Sometimes, well, 30, 40 years. But we'll always have authority figures in our lives. God knows that our parents aren't perfect. No one is. We have to learn with imperfect. We have to learn to work with imperfect authority figures. So working with imperfect parents teaches us how to work with an imperfect boss. Who here has ever had an imperfect boss? Who sees some of these presidential candidates and think they remind you of that imperfect boss? They just look at you like, ah, you know, whoa, scary. So we need to learn to work with that. Wendy, if you could come up and tell that story about that you told over there. Yeah, so I can see you. This came out of the prayer meeting. If you don't go to the prayer meeting, you should, because great stuff comes out of it. Wendy had a really good experience about having a mom, whom I just thought was great, but she has a tendency to complain.
This is embarrassing, guys. But my mother, and I loved her to death. I think you guys all know that about me. She was my best friend, but she was a big complainer. All her life. And she had a lot to complain about. She had a rough life. She really did. But one day I got really frustrated with her when I was visiting her in Holland, and I wrote something about it on Facebook. And it wasn't complimentary. So an old friend of mine from college years wrote to me privately and reminded me of the promise that was in this verse. And she said it so nicely. It was more like, I just want you to have the promise that is in this verse. And, you know, that kind of thing that I wrote certainly wasn't leading in that direction. I was mortified, ashamed of myself, and I took it down and I never did it again. But this is not the end of the story. Years later, many years later, like 20, maybe 30 years later, my best friend in Minnesota, her daughter did the same thing on Facebook about her mom. And she wasn't a complainer, but she disrespected her. So I kind of gathered up some courage and I wrote privately to her about that and basically said the same thing to her that was said to me. And she never did it again. She never spoke to me about it, never replied, but never did it again. And today they are super close, which at that time they certainly weren't. And my friend mourned her relationship with her daughter for years. And now her daughter just had a baby and they are super close. And that relationship was healed. And it was because my friend corrected me. So I appreciated it.
Let's give Wendy a hand for being put on the spot. A lot of people don't make eye contact with me before the service because it might end up in the sermon. Your parents are wired by God, their instinct, to make sure you survive. Honor them and work with them, and your odds of survival increase. More benefits. Parents should seek to be honored, not just loved. Being loved by your children is not as important as being honored. We've already talked about that. Parents want to be honored, but children need to honor them. Boys who don't honor their fathers, boys who don't often do this, end up in trouble with the law and abuse others. It's just statistically true. If you don't respect your parents as a boy, there's a very good chance you could be incarcerated. It just happens. I'm not saying if you're incarcerated, that's why. I'm just saying it's a... And girls who don't do this often end up with the wrong kind of men. They tend to be more promiscuous and keep choosing the wrong kind of men. This happens. And so respect for parents, I think, is really key because it does have an effect on the kids if they don't. Practicalities. Follow Jesus' example. Even if your parents aren't perfect, honor them and respect them. And even sometimes do what they tell you to do, like at Cana at the wedding, even when you know it's not right. You just do it out of respect. If your parents are no longer living, stick up for other parents when you can. I did this just recently. There was a kid mouthing off to his mom, and we had a little talk, teenage kid. That's just not how you talk to your mother. And his father is not around. So it happens easily because he thinks no one's going to come down on me. Well, I did. And you need to do that with some kids who, when you see a kid mouthing off to parents, there you go. There you go. Stop expecting perfect authority figures in your life because they're not going to be there in general. They're just not going to be. I wish I had a perfect boss. I wish I had, no. They're going to do the best they can. The police officers you're with, the teachers, the bosses, the professors, the people who do your job review and it's not fair, whatever. That just is just the way life is. And the last one here, go ahead and put that one up, Kim. Know where the boundaries are. There are good boundaries too. We want to make sure that respecting parents doesn't go so far that you honor something which is not godly. So there are some boundaries there which we have to, as we grow, kind of work on. We invite the worship team back up, put the last picture up. This is me and my dad. This is me and my dad. He was about 26 at the time. And this is me and my dad at my college graduation. He died quite a long time ago, but he was a person who always wanted me to do well. He was an advocate. And God gave him that instinct. God gives parents an instinct to help things go well. And I didn't think I'd be that upset when my dad died, but it was like the Super Bowl of grief. It just hits. And where it hit me was at the Olive Garden. Our family, our big gathered family, back in the Midwest, for whatever reason, whenever we get together to go out for dinner, it's always the Olive Garden. Because they've always had like a back room somewhere, and you go back there, and everybody's back there. And they used to bring my dad the check. And this time, after Dad passed, guess who got the check? It wasn't about the money. I like to feed people. If you've ever been out with me, you know I like to feed people. But I realized that my protector and advocate was gone. And those of you who have your parents, and sometimes when they get older, they can be especially difficult. It's just the way it is. My question to you is this. Not do they know you love them, but do they know that you honor them? And if they're already gone to be with the Lord, do they sense that from you? And would your words about them now show that? Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for our parents. You gave us parents and people who are like parents, Lord. This is not just a biological thing. There's a lot of us have had fathers and mothers in our lives who weren't related to us. A lot of us have done that for others too. I give you thanks, Lord, for Eberhard Hoffman, who just died this year, who was like a vocational father to me. Give you thanks for the people in this room who are like fathers and mothers to people they're not related to. Guided them. Any younger person that we want, where we want life to go well for them and do what we can to advocate for them, are like children, or like our children in a way. We give you thanks for those relationships, Lord. And Lord, we get frustrated with our parents. Everybody does. And when we do, Lord, help us to speak those things, sometimes telling the truth when it's hard, but doing it in a respectful way. For you've designed the whole world, Lord, to move in the direction of a promised land. And it's by respect for authority that we get sped along our way to that promise. And Lord, if there's any disrespect to our parents in our past, Lord, we want to let go of that, because that might be keeping us from the promise. Let's leave that here today. Leave it behind. Anything we've said or done, especially if our parents are no longer with us, Lord, we can't really ask for forgiveness. We know you'll take care of that. So we just leave that behind. And Lord, we look forward to that child-father relationship with you. Jesus called you Father, told us to pray our Father. And Lord, give us a sense of awe, kavod for you. A sense that goes beyond reverence and honor and respect. That heaviness. And we want to receive all the promises that he has for us, Lord. That you have for us, Lord. Because you have created us to live into a promise. We pray all this in Jesus' name, who called you Father. And all God's people said,